Welcome to Getting Real, our locally produced radio show that dives deep into thought-provoking topics, hosted by SJCC parishioners Al and Lynn Grassley, exploring how we best live out our faith in response to important issues and struggles of our day. So jump in and navigate the currents of conversation with Getting Real, where circumstance meets Catholic clarity. And now, your co-captains, show hosts Al and Lynn Grassley.
Welcome to Getting Real, where we talk about relevant issues and how to navigate them as Catholic Christians together.
Because let's face it, we're all going through stuff in our lives, our families, our community, but there's no need to walk it alone.
I am glad you joined us for honest conversations, encouragement, and a reminder that we're never alone on this journey on Getting Real.
Here on WSJF 92.7 Faith FM.
Well, Linda, what exactly are we talking about on this show? The show format really hasn't changed. Linda just gives me the script right before we walk in here and says, go to it, Al.
Go to it, Al. One of your favorite topics.
Oh, what's that?
Artificial intelligence.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So,
AI.
Before we get too far into the show, has this script been generated by AI, Linda? Did you just type in, say, hey, make a 30-minute show, talk show, podcast about AI?
Yeah, no paper was wasted.
That's what
I wasn't writing and rewriting.
That's what I'm writing about.
No, I did use AI a little. I wrote an outline, and then researching, I used IA with prompts, which we'll talk about, and just kind of polished it off with our style.
This is not good, Linda. I mean, like, the contract I negotiated is our talent, not AI's talent.
Oh, well, there's still a lot of our wittiness.
Wittiness or dullness, depending on who
right,
you
are. Exactly. So why don't you explain what artificial intelligence is?
I was just going to get to that because it's like color-coded, so this is my color to talk.
Yes, blue, bold.
Yes,
there you go.
Thank you, Linda. Mm-hmm. What is artificial intelligence? Well, it's a computer system that performs tasks that normally require human intelligence. Learning, problem-solving, reasoning, understanding language.
Sounds like a human.
It does. These systems use algorithms and large amounts of data to improve performance or learn over time.
Scary.
Examples include voice assistants, recommendation engines, self-driving features, and tools that automate business tasks.
Right. So we have some examples of how we use it.
We
right?
do have. I think the very first time when ChatGPT first came out, I was around Valentine's Day, and I made a Facebook post. Well, first of all, I asked ChatGPT to create a Valentine's Day love poem for my wife. And, you know, I put in like of 28 years with blonde hair, blue eyes, 2 kids. And it came out with an unbelievable poem. And I posted it on Facebook and I said, what's more loving than having ChatGPT write a poem about you for Valentine's Day? And a lot of people didn't know what ChatGPT was then. And they really thought I wrote the poem.
Right. You got a lot of kudos.
I got a lot of kudos from your friend. I was looking pretty good compared to your other friend's husbands.
Oh, gosh.
I was feeling pretty good about
your
that.
Your head is not going to make it out the door
no,
tonight.
No, probably not. Just because I know the prompts to put it to ChatGPT.
Right, right.
But that was probably the first time. And, you know, we've used it. We've used it for doing used cars.
Right.
Then before ChatGPT, there was Linda GPT.
I know. So, when I used to help you write everything.
Yeah, so.
Because you're not a writer.
I'm not a writer. And that is actually true. Although I've gotten better.
Yes, you have.
So, but, you know, I would write emails, some stuff in the nights that were kind of formal emails. And when I was a town councilman, there was some formal emails that I had to do. And I was always run it through Linda. And Linda would take it and say, what exactly do you mean here? And she'd go through all these things. Well, now I just go through ChatGPT and I say, rewrite this email. I am a blah, blah, blah. This is to so-and-so and it needs to be formal.
Right.
And, you know, of course I have like some bullet points and kind of a scattered email, I would say. Because the way I type and think is a little different. And it comes out with grade A emails. And it's spell check too, Linda. I mean, that's the big thing.
That's the big thing.
That's the big thing for me. So Linda's out of a job.
Yep. It's kind of sad. I have no idea what he does anymore.
So every now and then I catch her looking over my shoulder.
Peeking.
Yeah, peeking to make
peering
sure.
Peering through the window.
I'm making a right emails. But I mean, those are my examples of what I've used it for. What about you? Have you used it?
Yeah, well, I have used it like for script research, which is awesome.
I mean, besides the show script. Have you used it besides the show script?
Yes, I have. Thank you. Yes, for preparing agendas for different meetings that I have. And I also have been working on doing social media posts. So I've learned Canva. It's so hard to learn all these new things, but it has an assistant. So if I'm not really sure what would be appropriate, I can just feed it what kind of a post I want to make, and it will give me suggestions, which is really helpful. And then I'll do, like you like to do Grok.
Yeah.
I like to do ChatGPT because it's not as formal and engineerish.
Yes, Grok
is more friendly.
Yeah, Grok is very bullet point. Like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that about that. But yes, go ahead.
Right. Well, and it's appropriate for the kind of work that you do and things that you work on. But I'm working, like right now, I'm working with young adults with Having the Way. So I will ask ChatGPT to make a friendly thing to young adults, and it puts better lingo in there and it cool emojis.
Yeah, like 6'7" or something like that.
No, they won't like that.
They won't like that? Okay, got it. That's overused?
Yes. But the coolest thing that happened to me recently was I went to my cardiologist, and he's really into the tech. You know, like our primary care wasn't so much, very slow to get there. And they, you know, take notes after and everything, which is fine. But my cardiologist, he doesn't like to interrupt our conversation with technology, but it's always present. So he talks into a microphone and it automatically writes. But when he came in this time, he held up his phone. He said, I have AI on my phone that I'd like to listen to our conversation to help with our notes. And, you know, would you be all right with that? Well, you know me, I'm kind of a privacy freak.
Yes, you are.
And I thought, you know, we're doing this episode. We should see, you know, what it does. It was amazing. And he always does go over his notes. It literally has me read it off of the screen. So I'm comfortable with what's in there. And it merged it with AI and added some more detail of our conversation. And there were a couple of things that we took out and changed. But it was really neat to see how it could help him and help me and make sure that everything was documented properly.
Yeah. So Chris Martin is our recorder guy.
Yeah.
He does that at the night's meetings, and the minutes are generated by AI because he just records it. You know, he's into tech, Chris.
Yes, he is. He's good at that stuff. Right. That's cool.
So, you know, AI also was really kind of overcoming the workplace. Mm-hmm. I believe he got some statistics.
Oh, you know, I love my statistics.
Yes. Now, did you actually get these statistics, or did ChatGPT just give them to you?
Well, this was Grok, I believe.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, because it's form. It's just bullet point. Yep.
So I just had it pick up, you know, workplace use, and nearly half of U.S. workers report using some form of IA at least a few times a year, like chatbots and different writing tools, like, you know, kind of what we do.
Right.
And then Harvard had an article about that companies are increasingly using AI for loan approvals, medical diagnosis, hiring, and education.
Is that why we didn't get the car loan, Linda? Is that why it is?
There was some bias in there.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Which is a little nerve-wracking, but we'll talk a little bit about that. And what I'm just going to say in this broadcast, I constantly say AI wrong. I will say AI.
IA is what
you say. IA, excuse me.
Yeah, you've said that a couple of times.
So, yeah.
So that's proof that this is a real show. Well, it's not.
I used to work for the government, and I'm here to help internal affairs. Yeah. That's why. So
oh,
I apologize.
See.
I'm catching myself, but not enough to.
That's okay, Linda.
So Mark doesn't have to edit this. Yeah. I just thought I would preface that I've messed up a few times
there
already.
You go.
So, and then we talked about our personal use, some just other things that are in everyday, like Alexa and Siri.
Right.
We've looked up movies like, hey, family-friendly movie that's this amount long. Or
right. And we used it for looking at used cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then
comparing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a situation where we had to take somebody to the hospital, and we asked them what hospital to take it for, too.
Yeah. Based on certain what the problem was immediately, and that this person had additional health issues.
Right.
and it told us exactly where to go, and it was the best choice. It was awesome.
It didn't feel like the best choice when we were waiting in the emergency room for 6 hours, but after they got in there and admitted, it was like, okay, we did the right thing here.
That's anywhere, you know, anymore. Yeah. But, well, you have the these fitness apps now, too. It's not just counting steps anymore. They give you suggestions on how to improve your health. And
does it do the exercise for you?
Well, maybe that will come soon.
And that's what I'm hoping for.
That's scary, too. Also, the economic impact, some statistics came on that, $391 billion. It was the value of AI in 2025 and projected to continue to increase through 2030. And then 83% of businesses plan to prioritize AI in their strategies.
I know, it's kind of like what we lived through with the internet.
Yeah.
And how the whole economy just boomed and everything had to be online.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, it doesn't matter what business you are in, you need to have AI available for you.
To be competitive
or to increase your productivity,
efficiency and all that.
Right.
And people are using it in schools. Students.
No.
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Why, that's crazy, Linda.
But, you know, I think as long as you're not plagiarizing.
True.
And you're not writing, not thinking. I think the process of writing is so important to formulate your thoughts, to be able to speak well. But your friend that works at Cornell.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He's a college professor, and he actually encouraged his students to write the paper and then run it through AI and see what it comes out.
Right.
And, you know, he was saying they're going to use it anyway, so why not give them the green light and see if they could really spend some time. Really, it is just a tool. It could be used as just another tool.
Right.
And we kind of made the analogy where we're coming up with this. It's like when we got calculators, you know, calculators used to be 120, you know, used to be outrageously expensive, and then all of a sudden they were down to $5. Everybody was worried about math facts. You know, I'm like, hey, I don't need no math facts. 2 times 2, it's 4. It says it right here, you know?
Is it really? Are you sure?
Are you sure? But if you use it as a tool, I really think you could be more productive and, you know, it will definitely help out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and then, you know, you were talking earlier about prompting AI in your use of writing and that, telling it who you're writing for, what kind of writing you want, a professional paper or whatever. So
a firm email, and then it comes back and you say, well, make it a little softer, or if you want to put in sarcasm, you can actually put sarcasm in the email, which is quite funny.
You need help with that.
Like I need help, yes. So, but
My brother was in town, and so we were talking a lot about this, and he uses this prompting method called RTF, which is the role. You say who you are, what your role is, and whatever it is you're asking them to do, and what your purpose is. And then you give it the task, like, what is it you want it to do? Like, write a proposal or analyze something, research something. And then the format, like, what do you want to produce? What's the outcome? What's the structure? So there's other methods depending on what you're writing or creating, but prompting is really important to the outcome.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it a couple times where, like, I'm working on one email, just do it a couple times to see what I like the best.
Yeah. And you get better. We just had a neighbor, he was trying to figure out where to retire. And so he asked Grok to, he listed things that were important to him. Give me the top 5 cities, and based on these things I'm interested in, rank them. And it created an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah,
for him.
He told it to be an Excel spreadsheet, right?
Yeah.
It was cool. Yeah, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So do we need a station ID?
I guess we do. It's Getting Real with Al and Lynn on WSJF.
92.7 FM.
Hi, Mark McGregor here. We hope you are enjoying the show. Al and Linda Grassley have put this show together, hoping to touch the spiritual lives of our listeners, taking a current topic about our faith or something in the news, exploring it, and asking the question, How do I respond to this as a Catholic? Please send feedback about the show, suggested topics, or comments on anything else you hear on WSJF to wsjf@stjoseph.cc. That email again is wsjf@stjoseph.cc. Let's continue getting real with Al and Lynn Grassley.
So those are the cool things about AI. Now, Linda, what are the concerns that most people are having about it?
Well, I think the top two are, job losses and just more the morals of it, human
right.
dignity and the moral responsibility. So with jobs lost, surveys show that more than half the United States adults are in fear of losing their jobs to AI. And especially for people who have low skilled work, that's a concern to them.
Right.
So remember when we were in college, we were both in a technical field and the CNC machines were coming.
Right. And, for my job, it was the auto router,
right.
which was going to take my job and everything. But
for design. Yeah.
But I mean, if that happens now, I mean, luckily we got this radio podcast gig we got going on here with a new contract.
Oh, we'll go far.
We'll go far. We'll just... So I'm not really worried about losing my job.
Right. But yeah, so that kind of stuff and robotics and other industrial machines. But we survived the internet and computers coming on the scene. And
yeah, I mean, according to this World Economic Forum report that you cite here, you know, it could displace 92 million jobs. However, it could create 170 million.
Well, it'll have to create 170 million new roles order to support AI. So it's like a positive net gain of employment is what they're predicting.
It's just an economic disruption.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of AI skills, different job postings, machine learning experience are going to have to be increased. And we've already seen that. And I don't want to read the rest of those statistics.
You don't want to read? Okay. Linda over-prepares for most things, so we have a little bit too many statistics. But I think you get the gist, right?
Yeah.
It's a tool. It's pretty cool. And yes, it could cause you some trouble. But let's
in some industries, there might be some shifts,
right,
for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. But you're not going to be without a job.
I think so, too. I think there'll just be more opportunities.
Right. So the bigger concern is human dignity and moral responsibility. I think this was from a Harvard article. It talked about how AI learns from data and reflects human biases. So, I mean, if we are feeding it information, we're always going to have bias
right.
in our information. So whether it's racial or gender or socioeconomic, somehow that can be reproduced and also amplified in the wrong way.
Right. Yeah. I listened to somebody, another podcast that I listened to get, information for this podcast / radio. And the guy said, AI is basically a yes man. So, if you're feeling like, hey, I want to go speeding down Route 70 at 120 miles an hour, what's your thoughts on that? You could talk AI into telling you to go do that.
Right.
Because you're like, well, I got a really fast car. I'm a safe driver. I'll go at night. Oh, then that's probably a good idea.
Right.
Something like that. And the more you interact with it, the more it's going to mirror you.
Yes. And those are the scary things.
That's
especially
the scary
with
things.
Younger people who, may not realize that they're going down this rabbit hole.
Right.
Or they have impulses that as you mature you don't have. So that's a scary thing. It's really good to have these conversations with your kids as young as possible to recognize that just because it has a lot of knowledge doesn't mean it has wisdom.
Right. And the thing is too about that, like the more you're interacting with AI, the less you're interacting with your friends, and AI is always going to be on your side.
Mm-hmm.
It really isolates you.
Right.
Which is a bad thing. We don't, this is a warning thing. I know ChatGPT.
Snapchat.
Snapchat mm-hmm. has an AI buddy for you, each user. And you could convert, like if nobody's online, you could converse with the AI buddy, which...
Like they're a human.
Like, oh, this is my best friend. And there's a lot of crazy people out there who are supposedly marrying
Yeah.
Not in this country, thank goodness, right. But, you know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. We were talking about deep fake and, you know, the
videos that the videos. This is coming out now. It's amazing. So this is a pretty funny story.
It's creepy.
So, yeah, when Grok came out with the image, I don't know, they did something. I uploaded a picture of...
our wedding picture.
Our wedding picture, where we're both looking at the camera, you know, smiling. Linda looks beautiful. I'm so happy, just so happy that she finally said yes. And it made a 20-second video of us based on that picture.
Right.
And we were kissing.
Yeah.
Like we just got married. And I'm like, look, Linda, don't you remember this? And she goes, that's not my wedding dress because it was a long sleeve wedding dress.
It didn't show that it wasn't long sleeve, but as I moved, they had to fill it in and it was a long sleeve.
Yeah, so it was pretty funny. It was, I was shocked at how, first of all, how fast it did it.
Right.
And how real it looked.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it was creepy.
Yeah, it was a good picture.
I mean, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah, it was a professional picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we looked so happy and alive back then.
Yeah, we were. So, and we are now. So
that's true.
Well, also misinformation. Is it promoting truth? Is it true? Is there falsehoods? If AI can, have human biases in it, it could misunderstand things. So we got to make sure that you're double checking information. You had that day that the Senate was, no.
Yeah, it was the House. The Senate was.
Yeah, the Senate was going to vote on whether or not to reopen the government.
Right.
And he said, hey, did you hear the news? I'm like, no. He says, well, let's ask Grok, did they vote to reopen it?
And it came out and said, yes, they did. They did at like 12:30 tomorrow morning. And then they had the list of all the votes, which was crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's tomorrow. I'm looking at it like, you know.
The Matrix.
Yes. Are we living in the Matrix? Because Grok knows what's going to happen tomorrow. So I immediately said, what are the winning lottery numbers for tomorrow?
Yeah.
And I put some money down.
But you told it was wrong,
I
right?
I told it was wrong, yeah. Because I'm like, I can't remember.
And then apologized profusely.
Yeah. Well, not really, but... So anyway, I guess the point is don't always believe. You got to verify stuff you're getting out.
Exactly.
So,
and then the last concern was security and privacy, you know, making sure that your personal data is safe.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so. You don't want to get too involved. And they got that, yeah. So that's a good thing. But from the Catholic Christian perspective, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
These are the questions of moral use.
Yes. Does AI use up or does it uphold human dignity? We talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Respect, privacy, and consent, which is kind of ironic. It's the biggest concern is data breaches, which we see already all the time.
That happens all the time, right? Yeah.
And then does it serve the common good? You know, you just think about digital ethics. Who's watching this to make sure... You know, making sure it benefits humanity and certainly protecting the vulnerable.
Right.
Our kids, the elderly, they get fooled by things easily.
Yeah, send $1,000 to your grandson who's in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's happened.
That's happened, and that's not serving the common good. I mean, some of the examples that we use, Linda and I, well, that we use it for, I believe, serve the common good. We're looking up used cars. We're... you know, rewriting emails,
mm-hmm.
but we usually check everything.
Right.
But, and then.
Yeah. So Pope Francis had a message for World Day of Peace in 2024 about this. And he added a couple of interesting things, the extension of human creativity, that it must serve rather than replace human purpose. I mean, we have a kid actually both of our kids are very artistic and I can't imagine not seeing their right. true hand in things. And then human-made intelligence should be governed by God-given wisdom. We're talking about how wise we are now because we made mistakes.
We made a lot of mistakes.
Like, it's not going to be perfect.
That's how you learn.
That's how you learn.
If you make a mistake and it costs you something.
That's what we tell the kids.
I mean, you see this scar right here, Linda?
Exactly. Yeah. All of this is in the catechism, too, about human dignity and moral responsibility. And even human work is dignity giving. Technology should support, not undermine
right.
the dignity.
Yeah.
So
we should keep that in mind if we're looking at something like, is this, you know, what, you know, just think, kind of look at it through the prism of the catechism or the prism right. of the church.
Yep.
Like, should I be engaged in this or mm-hmm. Is this really serving a purpose for me?
Right.
Because, I mean, I've been into the rut where you just scroll through stuff that is just nonsense.
Mindless.
And it's, yes. Yeah. And it's like, you know, how about just taking some quiet time without any distractions and
yeah.
you spend some time with the good Lord? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
to summarize, AI is not inherently good or evil. It is shaped by moral character of its creators and users.
And it reaffirms the core messages. Only humans made in God's image have spiritual souls and moral agency?
Agency, yeah.
What does that mean?
I think that was created by AI.
Oh, was it?
Or IA.
Yeah. So do you want to go over the saint?
Yeah, so Saint Carlo Acutis, you might know, was just
canonized
as a saint, and he was all into the internet, and he used it for the common good. He said that we are all born originals, but many die as photocopies.
I kind of like that. That mm-hmm. just means you're like sitting there just taking all the garbage in,
So, but he took his love of technology and used it with purpose and integrity. He created a
database
on the internet, a database, of all of the Eucharistic miracles. And there's also panels that are traveling the world where people can see all these, you know, crazy miracles.
It is crazy. We went
it's beautiful.
About 2 years ago was in this area, right?
Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, why don't I know about this stuff?
Yeah. So it's all online if you want to look that up, to our new Saint Carlo Acutis.
All right.
15 years old, he passed away, and he did all that great work.
I know.
So
it's like, you know, I'm turning 60, and it's like, what have I done?
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next month.
Yeah, and hopefully, hopefully we shed some light on this. I don't know. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't, but maybe you were not as scared to AI as you were before the show.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next month.
Thanks for listening to Getting Real with our hosts, Al and Lynn Grassley. We hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to the Grassleys for their preparation, recording, and production of the show, along with Mark McGregor, who served as the recording engineer. Stay tuned to WSJF 92.7 FM, where we are always getting real.